Did you ever get the wrong order? Ever have the wrong order show up? I only get grilled chicken at Chick-fil-A. It's all I get. Now, every now and then I'll get some egg whites, you know, but I'll get the breakfast grilled chicken or I get the grilled chicken nuggets. And I usually always order it on the app and then get it carry out, get my steps in. So I walk in and get it, and that's fine. Well, the other day I'm cruising home and I'm coming up on the Christian Chicken and I'm like, you know what? I've got a little gift card for a free treat. I'm going to whip in there and get my wife a brownie. So I didn't do it on the app. I went to the drive-thru, got up there, and while I was there, I might as well order some grilled nuggets too. And so, you know, I did. But in Dowley, I was, you know, playing my Rick Astley music too loud because I forgot to say grilled. And I knew this because I got up to the stoplight, opened up the bag, and next to the brownie was a little white box, and they were not grilled nuggets in my little box. Now, at first, I was a little bummed. I was. And then just a few seconds later, I was no longer bummed. Because I started inhaling those golden, brown, precious poultry presents. I mean, they were amazing. It had been so long since I had some, I was like, oh man, I might have to ditch the grill. That wrong order turned out to be all right. Most of you know that it is rare that you will see me not wearing a vest. If you don't know, this is strategic. Number one, I have to carry a lot of things in life. I have sunglasses. I have reading glasses. I have safety glasses. I have keys to the church, keys to my house, keys to my mother's house. I have portable air pumps. I mean, you name it, I got all kind of things I got to carry around, okay? So that vest kind of becomes my little man purse, so to speak. I get to carry everything I need in all the pockets of my vest. Now, the second reason I carry that, in the words of the scientific research department at Dry Idea, is never let them see you sweat. If you're layered with a vest, they won't see you sweat. So I have two strategic reasons for why you'll always see me either in a sport coat or in a vest. Now, not long ago, I think it was this year, it might have been the end of last year, I ordered a new vest online, and it came in, and I tried it on, and needless to say, it was, you know, fat guy in a little coat moment. It was not good. You know, it was a bad moment. And I was like, how in the world? This is the size I always order. What? Take it off, look in the label. They had sent me the wrong size. So I immediately wasn't as depressed as I thought I would be about my weight when I saw the wrong size in the vest. You know, sometimes we get the wrong order, the wrong thing comes, and the reality is that wrong order could turn into, you know, golden brown joy. You know, it could. Or it could turn into garment fat jams, you know, and you don't know what to do. But there are wrong orders that come. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But what if there was an order that felt wrong in the moment, but actually was right? An order that's coming in the middle of our life where the results are not perfect in the moment, but they actually end up being perfectly, pleasantly perfect. What kind of wrong order is that? Well, we continue our series, For Your Good. And today we are going to be looking at those perfectly pleasant results. We've been looking at the idea of what it means to be trained by the Lord, the training that comes in life. And those perfect, pleasing results in life, they don't come in a little takeout box, and they don't come from ordering something online. They actually come through what is known as the discipline and training of the Lord. What does that mean, and what does it look like? Well, let's see if we can find out together. Our sermon today is called Good Results, and we're going to be looking in verse 11 of Hebrews 12, and this is what the first part says. For the moment, all discipline seems not to be pleasant, but painful. The story is told of a little boy that was about to be disciplined by his dad, and his dad said, son, I want you to know, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And the little boy said, yeah, Dad, but not in the same place. That kind of discipline is not fun. But that's not the kind of discipline the letter to the Hebrews is writing about. The discipline here means training that leads to good habits, or in terms of Christianity, training that leads to godly habits. Is training always fun? Do we always enjoy it? No, we don't. Sometimes training is really hard. It involves difficulty. It involves suffering. And that's the kind of training the letter's speaking of here. It's training that involves difficulty and suffering, but it is the difficulty that actually brings the good and godly habits. When I was growing up, I played all the sports, just about anything that was offered, especially little league, soccer, basketball, baseball, football. I did everything. And then around middle school, I kind of started focusing on rec league basketball and golf, but my last year of middle school, I decided to play for the school football team. Now, I didn't like practice. I didn't. It was hot and I was fat, and that is not a good combo to put together. It just wasn't any fun. I didn't enjoy it at all. But when we won the game, I wasn't thinking about practice. I wasn't talking about practice. We're talking about the game. And the reason we were talking about the game is because we won. We all know that there are times when practice is no fun, where practice is painful, where practice isn't pleasant. We know that in almost every area of life. But you know what? That practice wasn't fun, but winning the game was great. All training in life, all discipline, it seems painful in the moment. It seems like it's not going to be super fun. But don't miss that word. It seems like it's not fun. The picture here in Hebrews is this notion that when the pain comes, it seems like the pain has the upper hand. It seems like the pain is in charge. It feels like the pain is in charge. But it's never true. Pain and difficulty and suffering never have the upper hand. They're never in charge. How do we know that? Well, we know that because that pain, that discipline, that training, it comes with reward. What kind of reward? Well, we'll see that in just a moment. But are you experiencing any pain in your life right now? Any pain that you're going through? Maybe it's some mental pain. You've got some mental pain of something that's happening in marriage or in family, maybe some emotional pain along with that. Maybe it's mental pain that's connected with stress from work, stress from school, maybe stress from just trying to figure out who you are. Maybe it's physical pain because you've got some kind of health issue that won't go away. Life is full of pain. Every single human being experiences some level of pain at one time or another, and that includes Christians. In fact, if your version of Christianity doesn't include pain, if it's all health, wealth, and prosperity, then that version of Christianity is not true Christianity. Pain is part of what it means to follow after Jesus. Someone gave this definition of a Christian. They are someone who is completely fearless, continually cheerful, and constantly in trouble. That's good. I'm going to read it again. Someone who's completely fearless, continually cheerful, and constantly in trouble. Jesus affirmed that. One day he was teaching his disciples, and he said this, Matthew 5:11, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And that sounds like crazy talk, right? I'm not joining the church if I'm getting insulted. I'm not following after Jesus if there's persecution and slander. But see, this is the promise of the gospel. The promise is that if you truly engage with and follow after Jesus, if you truly hear the truth about Jesus, follow after his truth, you will face some level of insults, some level of slanderous lies, some level of persecution and suffering for your faith, for following Jesus. Now, let me just clarify, though. That doesn't mean that anything bad that happens to a Christian is automatically persecution. For instance, if you're someone who is rudely and loudly always confronting people, getting in their face, saying, turn or burn, turn or burn, turn or burn, turn or burn, then it doesn't necessarily mean when you are insulted that it's something pure and holy, because sometimes it's not. What it does mean is that we are called to speak the truth in love. And when we speak the truth in love, according to Scripture, love is not rude. Love is not arrogant. Love is not unnecessarily loud. Love is patient and kind and gracious, especially the love that presents gospel. But speaking the truth in love does not mean that everybody's going to receive what we say. And when someone rejects or refuses either our faith that we share with our life or our faith that we share with our words, if they reject, if they do not receive the gospel, what we should not do is get mad and angry at them. We shouldn't get angry at them because they don't believe like we believe, or they don't vote like we vote, or they don't do on Sundays what we do on Sundays. We also shouldn't throw a pity party. If all of a sudden we're a church that's preaching the gospel, but nobody's flooding the aisles. What we should do is keep speaking the truth in love, and to remember that in those moments themselves are part of the discipline and the training of the Lord. How many of you have been praying for someone to come to faith in Christ and you ain't seen it? How many of you have been doing it for weeks and months? How many of you have been doing it for years? See, we have this concept that God's time is our time. Can you imagine the joy of praying for a grandparent and 30 years later seeing them come to faith in Christ? Is that any less valuable than them immediately going, oh yeah, little Jimmy, let me follow Jesus right now since you just told me about him? No, the power and the authority is in the salvation. If somebody doesn't receive the gospel, we say, okay, I'm just going to keep speaking the gospel. And we say, this is part of the training of the Lord for my life. The training of the Lord can come with pain. It can come with difficulty. It can come with suffering. It involves some patience. And there will be moments when you are in that pain that it feels like the pain has the upper hand. Or as Hebrews says, it seems unpleasant. It seems painful. But it's impossible for pain to ever have the upper hand. How do we know that? Well, we said it just a moment ago. There is a reward. What's the reward? Well, we're getting there. Listen to the next part of verse 11. Yet to those who have been trained by it, there's a prerequisite for the reward. You have to actually be trained. You have to receive the training. So let me ask you a question. Are you being trained by the Lord? Are you experiencing the discipline of the Lord? Are you experiencing the pain that comes through the training and discipline of the Lord? Now, just to be clear, we're not talking about the common pains of life, okay? When we grow old and things don't work like they've always worked before, when we have aging parents and there are challenges and conflicts when it comes to caring for them and providing for their housing and health needs, those are all common pains of life. Everybody goes through those. But a doctor diagnosing a young child with a rare disease that's terminal, that's not everyday pain. That's a completely different kind of pain. Every single one of us will face difficulty. We will all face some type of suffering, some type of pain in life. But only believers experiencing the discipline and training of the Lord. It's something completely different. So again, I ask, are you experiencing the training of the Lord? You may say, well, I don't know what that means. Let me ask the question a different way. Are you becoming more like Jesus or less like Jesus? Do people hear you say, please forgive me? Are you becoming more gracious? Are you becoming more generous? Are you becoming more caring? Are you becoming more kind? Are you holding to truth, the truth of the gospel, more? Are you sacrificing without someone having to ask you to sacrifice? Are you becoming more stubborn, or is there a greater sense of humility in your life? None of us are perfect. We're not. But the training and discipline of the Lord means that there's more godly habits in our lives. I've told you this story many times before. It is always so appropriate of the older lady that was in the first church I pastored and just was known as just a rude, loud gossip. And one of the other old ladies in the church said, you know, do you really want to talk like that? And she said, I'm an old woman. I can say whatever I want. And she said, yeah, but do you really want to? If you're a Christian, you don't really want to. You don't. What you really want to, and what we really should want to as believers, is to be more like Jesus. So we don't look at the training and discipline of the Lord and get angry at God. We see it as a way for us to become more like Jesus, engaging in and welcoming the training of the Lord. Are you welcoming the training of the Lord? Are you welcoming the grace, really, of His discipline, the grace of His training? Or are you still always being the same exact person that you were yesterday and last week and last year and 10 years ago, but you just go to church? See, the gospel is so powerful. It's designed to change who we are for our good. So the reality is, if we're honest, and I'll just be honest for all of us, we reject and refuse the discipline of the Lord more than we receive it. And sometimes we ignore it. But the prerequisite for the reward is to those who have been trained by it. And why would we do that? Why should we not ignore? Why should we not refuse and reject the discipline of the Lord? Look at the last part of verse 11. Afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That may be one of the most encouraging words in all of the Bible. Afterward. Afterward. After the difficulty. After the suffering. After the persecution. After the insult. After the slander. After the stress. After the anxiety. After the fear. After the worry. After the pain, after the hurt, there is peace. There's a reward in the discipline and training. And afterward, it is peace. What kind of peace? The peace of the fruit of righteousness. The peace of rightness with God. So are you right with God? Are things right between you and God? Not are your grandparents great Christians. Not are you a baptized church member. Not are you a great American. Are things right between you and God? Have you felt the weight of the burden of sin? The weight of being someone whose heart is selfish and rebellious toward God, and selfish and longing to mostly just get what you want? Have you felt the weight of the burden of that sin? Have you felt the weight of the burden of sin to such a degree that you realize you cannot rescue you? You can't make things right between you and God. And if that happens, then you face the ultimate consequences of the burden of that sin. And that consequence is this: death and separation from God forever, that never ends. It's not one and done. It's one and forever. Death and separation from God. The horror and the terror. It never stops. Have you felt the weight of the burden of your sin in such a way that you have heard the truth about Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Son of God? You've heard that truth, you've believed that truth, and that truth has done something to you? You've heard the truth of how Jesus was crucified on a cross outside of Jerusalem one Friday to satisfy the penalty of my sin and your sin, to become the only way for things to be right between you and God. And you have heard that in such a way that you have said, yes, Lord, come save me. Have you turned from sin and turned to Jesus? Not perfectly, because none of us can do it perfectly, but have you turned on purpose? And are you following Jesus? Are things right between you and God? Are you following after, to the best of your ability, the truth and the power and the glory of Jesus the Christ? If so, then you have the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You have the peace of being right with God. And that fruit doesn't come in a frozen, frosted blueberry Pop-Tart box. This fruit comes from discipline. It comes from training. It comes from these moments where we struggle, when life is hard. But the fruit definitely comes. There's no question of the fruit coming. Bruce Hurt was born in 1946. For many years, he was a successful medical doctor in the Austin, Texas area. But he was not a believer. He'd been around the gospel a lot, but it wasn't until about the age of 39 that he truly received Christ and was right with God. He has a fantastic website that I use every week, called Precept Austin, and he just has devoted his life. I think he's still living. He's just devoted his life to the study of God's Word. But Bruce wrote this: God promises a safe landing, not smooth sailing. Safe landing. That's the promise of God. A safe landing. Listen, there is no spouse, there is no parent, there is no child, there is no grandchild. There is no pastor, there is no politician, there is no professional athlete, there is no actor, there's no activist, there's no doctor, there's no physician, there's no therapist, there's no counselor, there's no BFF. There is no medicine, there is no sport, there is no hobby. There is no job, nor education, nor degree, nor house, nor car, nor retirement package that can promise you a safe landing. None of them. Well, let me correct that. They can promise, but they can't fulfill. Only the one true God of heaven and earth can promise in Jesus Christ a safe landing. And you may experience some aspects of that safe landing today, but God can guarantee that there will be a safe landing. But it may not be smooth sailing. About 30 years after Jesus was crucified and risen, the Apostle Paul was writing to some Christians in the Colossian church, and he was writing about the power behind the safe landing. And this is what he wrote, Colossians 2:16. No one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Verse 17. Things which are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Old Testament diets and regulations or ancient or modern traditions in the life of the church, they're all fine. They are not the substance. Therefore, we do not preach the traditions, modern or old, of anything. We preach Christ and Him crucified only. The hope is only in Jesus. He is the only substance. There is no denomination. There is no political party. There is no country. There is no person that is the substance, only Christ. Jesus and Jesus alone is the substance. Jesus is the safe landing. Jesus and only Jesus. The reward of the discipline and training of the Lord is the peaceful fruit of righteousness, and that peaceful fruit is the safe landing. But there will be pain, and there will be difficulty. There will be training, there will be discipline. There will be moments when it will not feel like there is smooth sailing. But dear friend, know this, that in Christ, pain will never have the upper hand. It's not possible. It is absolutely, completely impossible in the midst of our pain to be in Christ and for pain to have the upper hand. It can't happen. The power of a safe landing, maybe put another way, is the power of waking up on the other side of death. Not dead, but alive. And full of joy forever. All of that is found in Christ, in Christ alone. So if you have received the salvation of Jesus, if you've been rescued and redeemed by Jesus, pain cannot have the upper hand. We need to embrace that. Because we will face pain, and it will seem like pain is winning. It will feel like pain is winning. But part of what it means to be in Christ is that the only thing that can happen is pain doesn't have the upper hand. The nail-scarred hands always have the upper hand. It never stops. His hands are perfect. His hands are real. His hands are scarred, not just with the gore of the cross, but the glory of heaven. And those hands, dear Christian, they are for you. Yes, it's fun to win a game. It's great to win a game. It's fun to win the game and forget about the practice. But the training and discipline of the Lord come with a victory that is much more than just a game. I love how Charles Spurgeon put it. This is the place of work. That is the place of rest. This is the place of sorrow. That is the place of joy. Here is defeat. There is triumph. Here is shame. There is glory. Here it is being despised. There it is being honored. Here it is the hiding of my Father's face. There it is the glory of his presence. Here, it is the absence in the body. There, it is presence with the Lord. Here, there is weeping and groaning and sighing. There, the song of triumph. Here, death. Death to my friends. Death to myself. There, the happy union of immortal spirits in immortality. Immortality was not promised in the Bill of Rights. Immortality was not promised in the hospital when they passed out the candy and cigars when you were born. Immortality is found only in Jesus. And that's great news. You know why? Because you're going to have pain. And I'm going to have pain. And there's going to be difficulty. And we're not going to want to get out of the bed. We're not going to want to come to church some days. And yet, we have this promise of immortality with Christ. In other words, all that Spurgeon said could be wrapped up with two words. Safe landing, safe landing, safe landing. Do you have the promise of that safe landing? Are things right between you and God? Do you have the peaceful fruit of the righteousness of God? Scotty Smith was the founding pastor of Christ Community Church in Franklin, Tennessee. He wrote something about the grace that comes from discipline, the peace that comes from discipline, the joy that comes from discipline. And this is what he said. God doesn't love and accept us to the degree we are like Christ, but to the degree we are in Christ, which is 100%. That's amazing math. God does not love and accept Dow Welsh because he's a great Christian. Woo, super pastor, always gets it right. God loves and accepts Dow Welsh because Dow Welsh is in Christ 100%. Dear Christian, if you are in Christ, you're in Christ 100%. And there is absolutely no pain, no suffering, no difficulty, no discipline, no training, no rude comment from a spouse, no rebellion from a kid, no crazy thing that happens in the stock market, the economy, politics, or anywhere else that can change your percentage with God. You are 100% in Christ. And let me graciously say, if you are not, you are 100% not with Christ. So, are things right between you and God? Do you have this peace? Are you 100? Are you in? Not just in heaven, although that's glorious, the promise of immortality. But today, right now, are you in Christ? Because here's, it'll matter today. I mean, that's where we need it today, right now, right? In the middle of the pain, when it seems like pain has the upper hand, we need in that moment to go, wait a minute, safe landing. I have a safe landing in Christ. The discipline and training of the Lord, it's going to be a painful process. It just is. It happens. But don't let your heart be obsessed with the painful process. Let your heart be obsessed and let your heart rest in the results. See, we become people who get so bent out of shape with the process because the process is the moment. The process is the circumstance. You know, I'm a fat kid on the football field in North Augusta, and I didn't like practice. I didn't like the process, but I like the game. I like the win. And there is no win, there is no triumph, there is no victory like the victory that can be found in Christ. Look, we're not spouting off religion here. We're spouting off a person. It is the person of Jesus Christ that changes everything. That's why we keep encouraging you toward him, not toward me, not even toward this church, but toward Christ. Don't get obsessed with rejecting the process. Be obsessed with the results. And what are the results? The pleasant, peaceful promise of a safe landing. Of being safe. Dear Christian, you are 100% in Christ. And the Lord disciplines those he loves. Do you believe that? Thank you.